podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Any crack?
That, but it comes for Kel Beattie. In front, here's a chance for Cooper. Grant Cooper looking for his second. Turned aside by Owen. Hausinger, 10 seconds remaining. We'll let the crowd take you home, folks. This is the moment, Colin Shields.
The 2023 Viaplay Elite League Challenge Cup champions are your Stellaline Belfast Giants. This
is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast, the 2022-23 Challenge Cup champion winning Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 8th of March, because it's taken us a week to recover, and we are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and you also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and a load more of your normal podcast providers. On this week's show, Adam Keefe's costing us organization a fortune in championship banners. And there's another one heading for the rafters as the Giants stamp their authority on the competition to lift the fourth cup in five runnings of that competition. And because of that, I couldn't give a stuff about what happened at the weekend. Anyway, we'll get to those games shortly. We'll also be chatting with Gabe Bass as he becomes the latest name on the View from the Bridge Player of the Month award, sponsored by Phonicab. We'll look ahead to another key weekend on the road with trips to Sheffield, trips to a Sheffield team desperate to stay in the running, and a Manchester team who have won six out of our last 10 games at home. Finally, before I get to the gents here, it's a big happy birthday to Steve Thornton, who's actually younger than Simon Kitchen. Didn't realise that. Sorry, sis. Andre Owens and the Chukka Puck Canuck, Eric Lepp. And likewise, behind every great organization, there's a great wealth of great women. And then this On this International Women's Day, we want to celebrate those that make the Belfast Giants what it is. The likes of, you know, Chantel, Anne, Tams, Neve, all behind in the office, Lynn, Mel and co behind the scenes on a game day, to all the volunteers who are helping make the Belfast Giants what they are, selling 50-50s in the OSC work. And last but by no means least, our very own Laura Small, who keeps us on our toes on a regular basis. So yeah, bit of a shout on International Women's Day for that. Mr. David McGimsey, how are you?
Not too bad, Paddy. Not telling the absolute truth there. I feel like death warmed up, but you know, we go on. It's hard to believe it was a week ago already, but like this time last week we were just involved in the high drama of the cup final. So, you know, it's been a week of celebrations, as you know.
It is. I think that's why I'm not feeling the best myself, mate. So if I miss anything or forget anything, you boys, I need to lean on you. And likewise, anybody watching live, why am I looking around here like the camera's somewhere else? Anybody watching live, you know, if I'm missing anything, let me know. Simon, how are you doing?
Okay, a bit of a sore throat still from the weekend, but
we've all got a minute. We're all going for it.
I know. I mean, as Davey touched on, it's hard to believe that it is a week ago since we had the the game at the arena, and you know, looking at that, what you put on at the start, is the first time I've seen that. I didn't get this, obviously we were all in the arena that week, but I didn't watch any highlights, and it's always nice to see the boys lifting the trophy and another cup. You know, it's been, I think that's four different cups in 5 years we've seen.
do you know what? I couldn't believe it when I saw it, man. Couldn't believe it when I saw it. I thought,
I mean, again, like the original Challenge Cup should be coming out and being handed around. It's a great trophy. It's got a bit of history about it, and again, I think it's in Nottingham, locked up in a glass cabinet, and somebody said they can't get at it. Just give us a brick, we'll get at it very, very quickly.
It's in the foyer. It's on display in the NIC. From what I understand, it needs some repairs. The amount of money we spent after we've had them, but like, you know, they employed this silversmith to build this one for the league. And okay, the Monteith Bowl had a bit of gravitas, a bit of history to it, and this was the you know, build its own legacy, the new league trophy that we've had since its inception. No one else has ever touched it. Champions, 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 champions. That's hopefully we're going to hold on that again. But, you know, bring the old Challenge Cup out is what I would say. You know, we're lucky enough to win it 10 years or 13 years ago it is now. And we've been lucky to win nearly every other, you know, shape or form that they've had in the last lot of years. But first hands on the new trophy is always nice too.
Before we get on to the game, is the playoff trophy still the same? Is it still the Icy Smith trophy? I don't think that's changed. And that's an old one.
No, still there.
That's an old one. So yeah. But you want a bit of gravitas, you want a bit of history. So yeah, you know, a trophy's a trophy, and we're pleased to lift it. And let's get stuck into it, boys, because the Belfast Giants did host once more the Challenge Cup final at the SSE Arena, and in front of 7,851 amazing fans, they won 9-3. Deep breaths, Patrick. Here come the goal scorers. David Goodwin, Donovan Niles, Steve Ari, Matt McLeod, Ben Lake, Kieran Long, Mark Cooper, Grant Cooper, and David Gilbert. Nine different scorers. On the other side, Emmerdale, Kivalati, and Lakanen were the scorers for the Fife Flyers. In net, Tyler Beskarwani, 24 shots against 3 goals by him. On the other side, Shane Owen, 44 shots against 9 goals by him. Your refs are Liam Sewell and Andrew Dalton. Davey, before the game, I was on the bridge chatting to some good friends, and I said, you know, we were talking about the game and how we felt the game would go. And what I said to them and what we agreed on, that we thought that if the Giants got an early goal, we would take over. And so it really proved.
Yeah, you couldn't really have drawn the first 20 minutes any better. Fife came out with a little bit of spark, but, you know, once that first goal went behind, Shane Owen and the crowd really got engaged in the game. Unfortunately for them, obviously, it became a very lopsided night. Bit of a pushback through that second period there, where they got a couple of goals back. Don't know how much of that was, you know, ourselves taking a little bit of a break and some mental lapses. There was 12 different scores actually in night, 9 different scores for the Giants, 3 different scores for the Fife there. But we answered back quickly when they scored. We came back with quick replies, and that just sort of kept them. Down's the wrong term, and you know what I mean. Stopping them getting really any momentum into the game, and then obviously towards the end of the game, we've ran away and scored a few to make it very, very lopsided. And let's just watch. It's 2 minutes. Let's just enjoy it.
Side back into the lineup for Adam Keith. Ori with a chance. Ori, oh, what a play! Score! Steve Ori, 3-0 Giants. Here's Lake to Ruup with a long reach, and it bounces out from McLeod. Scores right on you, Matty McLeod. His first career Challenge Cup goal. It's 4-0 Giants. Phillips is run over by Bass, and here comes Cooper. Cooper and Lake, 2-on-1. Lake in all alone, and another shorthanded goal! Lake slots it home! Shorthanded goal, Giants! The Giants will want to settle it down, but what a start from the Fife Flyers. Here's Long, scores!
labored to go to the bench. Here's a chance for Cooper. Scores! One-timer, Mark Cooper. That's his fifth. 7-3 Giants. Niles, one of the shorthanded goals on the board. Lake with a shorthanded goal as well. Cooper scores! Grant Cooper left it wide from the point. Shane Owen never saw it, and that'll just about do it. Played for Dundalk. We were had more fun off the ice than we did on the ice, I think. Here's Gilbert. David Gilbert around from Finn Page. And a shot from Gilbert goes home. And David Gilbert with his sixth of the cup, and that'll do it. 9-3.
I think there were a lot of goals. Donovan Gilbert will let him away with
that. The one in the second period when they'd got it back to 4-2, the breakaway, shorthanded, same combo that won the cup last year in Cooper and Lake combining to make it 5-2 just before the end of the period. Sort of completely settled everything down again. And we came out in the third period, obviously, then with a 3-goal lead, and you know, we were able to go on and win it comfortably enough.
It was that sort of way, says it's the fact that it was comfortable. And, you know, there's a lot, obviously, there was a lot of whinging around the league about, you know, the scoreline and blah, 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 whatever. You know, Fife earned their place in the final. And if other teams didn't earn their place in the final, that's their problem, not Fife's. It's, yeah, but from that point of view, Simon, you know, the Giants were runaway favourites going into the game. So was the scoreline that much of a surprise?
When it's a one-off game, you just never know what they expect. You know, you need your goaltenders come up big, and Shane Owen wasn't good enough on that night. I mean, he coughed up quite a few of the goals. He should have had them. If our movement, our play, the speed, everything we did last Wednesday night was exceptional. And don't forget, we're missing a couple of important guys as well in the lineup. Roche wasn't playing. Hank wasn't playing. So there's a couple of boys that were missing, but we just scored at really, really good times. I mean, that first goal by Goody is outstanding. The vision from Ari to get the puck onto the stick for Cons, and then Cons just, to be honest, Shane Owens thinks Cons shooting the puck. That's it. And he just basically only played him. He didn't play Goody at all. And then he put it on the plate for Goody. The goal, second goal for shorthanded. You talk about your special teams being strong, your goaltender being your best penalty killer. You know, two shorthanded goals for us, and your goaltender's got to give you a chance to win. He did not do that last week. So, with regards to the other fans around the league, guarding their lamps out about, you know, not getting an opportunity to host a final or at his neutral venue and all this nonsense, everybody knew at the start of the season. All the owners of the club basically agreed for it with regards to putting into place. Tony Smith, Neil Black, all these owners around the league agreed that that's exactly the situation. And for us to have two teams from our group get to the final.
Yep.
It tells
the story. It is. Davey, let's talk about the atmosphere in there as well. You know, I said it was nearly 8,000 fans, and the atmosphere was absolutely electric. We've seen afterwards, you know, coverage in the press. We were the top thing on BBC Northern Ireland, which is unusual at times. We see a great article written in the Belfast Telegraph by Steve Beacom. You know, the fallout from this game and the atmosphere of this game was phenomenal.
It was great, Paddy. And, you know, we've played finals in there with smaller crowds and more noise, but like it was spine tingling. See, whenever David Goodwin skated with the cup into the rest of the team and lifted it, and the noise for some of the goals when you're watching through those highlights there, like, the first one nearly takes the roof off because there was a bit of anticipation and people were just settling down into the game. And I go back and we're talking about Simon, like the head fake from Scott Conway in that first goal, Shane Johnson-esque, like he's the king of the head fakes. But like everybody goes, the only person that didn't expect Scott Conway to shoot probably was David Goodwin. I think even Steve Ori thinks he's going to shoot it, and Shane Johnson does. The D-man goes to block it, and like, absolutely superb. He's playing just out of his skin at the minute. But the noise in the arena every time, and even when we went back, when Fife conceded goals or scored goals, sorry, and their fans were into it, you know, that home ice advantage was definitely big. And you know, you give credit to Rob Stewart, the guys that went for this from September, that we. Home ice advantage was a thing in September. You could win through and host the final at your own rink. That was the rules of the competition. Some people took it more seriously than others. Some people wanted to win all their Challenge Cup League or round robin games because it gives you that opportunity to win a trophy on home ice and have the home ice advantage. And make no mistake, it was an advantage to have. And you know, the Giants took the competition seriously. I think Adam Keefe or somebody from the organization said in the press about it, you know, you take it seriously. We take it seriously right from September, from the first game, because that was the carrot at the angle that we could have 7,500 of our own fans at the final. Anywhere else, we're taking a few hundred. We're maybe taking 1,000 if we're lucky, because it's logistically difficult on a school night.
It is logistically difficult on a school night, especially for... I thought the travelling fans, as mentioned, the travelling fans did so, so well. They came over. As we said last week, they were in early. They were marking their place in the arena, and they made a lot of noise. Yes, it was difficult for them with the scoreline, but we knew that they were there and that they were in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. 707 of them come over, and it was brilliant to see so many Fife fans come over during the week. And you know, and look, again, at the end of the day, we tried to make it as a Giants fan, you'd want a game where you didn't want a game the way it was last year when Cardiff were 2 up getting into the third period. So for us to come out that first period or take a 4-0 lead at one point, and then, you know, again, we just put our foot down and we just kept going. But as Davey touched on, that fifth goal, the shorthanded goal, was a straw that broke Campbell's back. That's one of those goals that you can't give up. I mean, the two shorthanded goals, if I'm right, Davey probably correct me, but we scored them within 20 or 30 seconds of the penalty starting. There were really, you know, really quick reactions to them. And, you know, even at that, the penalties that were called, and definitely on one of them, was a bit dubious in my opinion. You know, you've got to obviously run with what you've got in front of you. And I just thought we did really, really well. And it's one of those ones where, for me, you've got a trophy up for grabs. I genuinely expected a tougher task. We were all talking about it. I mean, nobody was massively confident. You know, from the fan base, I didn't see one comment going, happy days, Fife. We'll beat them every game we played them this season. Let's just go out there and have fun. I didn't see one comment.
Because we've been burnt before, mate. We've been burnt before.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, the Steelers thought they were 3-0 up. They were 3-0 up in the first second leg. They thought it was all over. Started booking their flights and their hotels. There was actually quite a few Steelers fans were here. I don't know if you noticed them. There was quite a few Steelers fans that came over for the game. I don't know if they enjoyed it or not. I couldn't really care less. But, again, it's all about winning. And we've now got that bit in their mouth regarding just keeping it going. And first trophy up for grabs. Every team in the league wants to win the first trophy up for grabs. Let's be honest. It's a lot harder to win the Challenge Cup than what it is the playoffs. So, you know, with winning that first trophy, it gives you that little bit of confidence. And you've seen it in the room. You boys were there. You've seen it in the room after the game. You've seen how much it means to people. Look at David Gilbert. You know, he's had a bit of flack this year. He got a goal in the cup final. How many people can say that? You know, it doesn't matter what sport you're playing. Got a goal in the cup final. They couldn't wipe that smile off his face. I seen this afternoon coming out of practice. He's still got the same bloody smile. You know, a week later, and he's over the moon about, you know, his first trophy as a professional. He's 31, 32 years of age. So it's fantastic to see. And even around the locker room the next day, after the boys had celebrated that night, you just see the mood was really, really good. So it's fantastic to get off and running. And I thought we absolutely deserved it.
I said to Matty McLeod on the night, was he skated past us? I says, that's some crack, mate. You only arrived about a week and a half ago and you've got a medal around your neck. but Davey, you know, that's 4 Challenge Cups in 5. It's great that we have, especially and for Adam Keefe as well, in the way that he's approached it, and it's, you know, 4 for him. It's great that the way this organization has taken this, a competition at one point we really struggled in, a competition at one point we didn't take part in, but now we've won the last 4 and 5.
I'm sure if you go back through those old podcasts, mate, where we were talking about the Challenge Cup, I can personally have my own personal vindication that I always wanted to win the Challenge Cup every year. It had a little bit of history attached to it. We've talked about the old trophy. It was one I wanted to win, you know, year on year. When we lost a couple or three years ago to Cardiff in the quarterfinals over 2 legs, I was disappointed. It was a cup I wanted to win. I think there should be more gravitas associated to it, with it being 11 or 12 games sometimes to win it, compared to the playoffs where you have to be good for one weekend. Granted, you've got to play all season, but you can play all season and scratch through an eighth position and somehow get yourself to a final and, you know, pull off a miracle. But, you know, the Challenge Cup is a hard trophy to win. People will talk about the, you know, the groups and stuff, but I'm quite sure that those groups are set to have Sheffield, Nottingham, Gates at the start of the season to help financially with teams. So if they're going to set those groups, and they're going to be, no point complaining about it at semi-final, final stage. If you want to complain about the Challenge Cup, now's the time to start complaining about it for next season, because the rules are the rules at the start of it. We've played a blinder, we won it 4 out of 5, which is quite phenomenal, to be quite honest. You know, you go back to probably the period of time before that, and the Nottingham Panthers were really dominant in cup competitions, and they were dominant in the playoffs. And, you know, Simon has said it, put that first trophy on the board, hang that first banner in your building, and you've got that little bit of momentum. Boys, David Gilbert, first trophy in his career, will want a taste of more. He will not want that to be the last smile he has in his career. He'll want to go on and win the league. He'll want to go on and win playoffs. He'll want to come back, hopefully, and win, you know, Challenge Cups. So it's about getting momentum going, and it's about, it's winning everything you can. You set out those players, and Adam Keefe will set up at the start of the season to win every trophy he can. And so far, his strike rate is pretty good.
It's what we do, and it's what we did last Wednesday night. Massive congratulations to Adam Keefe, to the backroom staff, and all those lads on the ice who did a phenomenal job in winning yet another Challenge Cup for the Belfast Giants. And that banner will no doubt be raised soon. You know, I assume we've got an account, because we're just picking them up year on year on year at the moment.
Let's just all not right. Get too cocky either. You know, let's
at this moment either. In time, mate. At this moment in time, talking about this game, I'm more than happy. Let's move on back into league competition, where the Belfast Giants hosted the Coventry Blaze for two games on Saturday, Sunday, and it was a split weekend. But we'll start with that game on Saturday, where the Belfast Giants came off the back of that Challenge Cup win to win 6-1 at home over the Coventry Blaze. The goal scorers for the Giants were Ari, Conway, Cooper, Ari again, Conway again, and Cooper again. 2-2 and 2. The only goal scorer for the Coventry Blaze was Mitch Cook. Best scorer only in nets for the Giants, 17 shots on, 1 goal against. The other side, Pavel Hulsa, 39 shots on, 6 goals against. David Good and Joe Sewell were the referees. Simon, we were just talking about a commanding performance for the Belfast Giants in the Challenge Cup, and it was another commanding performance on Saturday in the league.
Yeah, and to be honest, when I had skating Saturday morning, and you sort of know from the mood around the room that, you know, everybody's up for it. Let's just say that they were up for it, but you could see there was a wee bit of a I don't want to say the party too hard, because they didn't. Adam didn't let them this time. I think last year's final was celebrated a little bit too hard, and we managed to come out and win the next games after that as well. But the we managed to get the boys together at 4:30 on Thursday, and thanks to our good friends at Pizza Guys, they let on some pizzas for the boys, and they came in and did a bit of stretching and sort of calmed everything down, and Adam prepared them and give them the talk for Saturday and Sunday, and getting ready with practice on Friday. So, you know, and that these games, you know, midweek, you know what, we talk about the midweek not being ideal for a championship game. I absolutely agree with that point. You should be giving yourself, both teams in the final, you should be given an opportunity to maybe get a couple of days rest before a game. And you know, for us to come out, and Fife obviously came over, and then they played on the Saturday night as well. But to come out and get a result like we did, on a performance like we did against Coventry in the first game, I thought was really, really solid. I thought the Hulsa, you know, come up with a couple of early saves, and then we just got going. And when we do get going, it's tough to stop a unit like the Belfast Giants. You talk about all these other teams around the league, and everybody says, well, Sheffield have a good team and Cardiff have a good team. Everybody's starting to play well. They picked up points at the weekend. But I keep on saying, we are a really good team. We're not sitting where we are because we're a bad team. So, you know, you get these opportunities, you've got to take them when they come along. And again, 2 goals from Coops, 2 goals from RA, and 2 goals from Scott Conway. And Scott Conway coming up. Actually, you know what? I'll leave that for Davey because that's his thing. For us to put a dominant performance like that up less than, you know, 72 hours after the final was really, really positive.
Momentum, Davey, I think Simon alluded to it there. When the Giants get up and running, it's tough to stop them.
Yes, I'm just looking at these highlights here. I'm just not too happy with how I've performed there again this week, lads. Sorry. I'll try and be better next week. I don't know whether it's your computer, Paddy, or whether it's mine, but apologies for the zigzaggy. They look like they're going to disappear off in Star Trek or someone. But yeah, look, we got a bit of momentum out of the gates again, and very, very hard team to stop when they get going. We'll obviously come on the Sunday and we'll talk very, very briefly there about Simon throwing me the old stat one. Scott Conway coming up with his 100th point of the season. Just absolutely incredible numbers. Ably, assisted by the likes of Goodwin and Ori and Mark Cooper when he's been on that line this season. And then you've got, you know, Basti and Rupper on the back end coming up with big points and big assists and stuff on that top line. So, you know, he's been incredible. He's been incredible for two seasons now. That's over 200 points in the 2 years he's been with the Belfast.
Davey, sorry for interrupting. That goal that's being shown on the screen right now.
The power play goal, phenomenal.
That's our best power play goal of the season. With a shadow of a doubt, that was absolutely outstanding.
There's been a nice link up between Bast, Goodwin, Rupp, around that top circle. There's been a few goals. There was one in the semi-final. And it was either the semi-final or it was just a league game we had in Guildford. One-timer from Bass from a pass from Conway. There's been another one in the last couple of weeks. So that little triangle has been clicking. But yeah, really, really pretty power play goal, which obviously you love to see the guys. I think the power play is up about 25% there. Simon, can you remember what it was the weekend? Sent you numbers for the weekend. Just don't have them.
24.84, I think it was.
24.8 anyway, that's almost 25. So an 85 or something on the specialty or on the penalty kill. So the special teams, you know, have been really, really strong this season, and obviously that line of Ari Goodwin, Mark Cooper comes in there and stands in the blue paint, making use of himself. But you know, Scott Conway coming up with his 100th point of an incredible second season with the team, and you know, just try and get those golden handcuffs on him if we can. But if he goes on to something else, we'll wish him well and hope he drops back in sometime on his way past.
Here, here. I think there was a dops on this as well. Lisnicki fined for a tripping penalty towards the end of the game. Did anybody pick up on that, Sis?
I don't think he was suspended the next day, was he?
No, he wasn't suspended. He was fined.
I didn't know that.
Fined for he was fined for tripping, which it's not something I'd seen before.
No, I don't even remember the penalty, to be honest.
No, me neither, Davey.
I'm going to have to go and have a quick look at that. I can't remember anything too bad off the top of my head.
There was one point, to be honest, I thought it was a slew foot on Saturday.
I wonder, is that the one at Gabe Bast goes in the blue paint? Is that the incident?
It says
that
there's
Simon.
I'm just reading off the dops. It's the Department of Player Safety have fined Tanner Lyshynski. There we go. I'll never get these for an incident in the game between the Blaze and the Giants on 4th of March, effective immediately. He's fined for tripping for an incident 58-42, so last minute and a half of the game. The incident recorded in the player's record for the remainder of the season, which isn't that much longer. But yeah, I was basically trying to prep the show earlier today, and I was like, oh, there is a DOPS from this week. Oh, it's a DOPS from a game that I watched, but I have
58-42, Paddy.
No,
58-42, Davey.
Yeah, so 58-42 says is the time that Mark Cooper scored the final goal of the game, and that's the one where Gabe Bass drives a blue paint, and call it a trip, call it a slew foot. The foot comes in there and he's tripped up. That's the one that go to review the goal. Perfectly good goal because Bass obviously tripped on the play. But this here.
Yeah,
just gets his feet taken out from underneath him. That's it. It's the same. Sometimes DOPS surprise me with. There was one a few weeks ago and I can't remember what the incident was, but it was the Steelers game. Somebody got a suspension and it was sort of like an almost downgrade. It wasn't the same. Wasn't high icing the penalty at all. Can't remember now, but yeah, fair enough.
Let's call a spade a spade. That's a slew foot.
Yeah, and there was also an incident in the final. Sam Ruip in behind the net, gets the skates taken out from him, skate on skate. Now, I'm not sure whether, I'm not sure in the rules for slew footing, Simon, if you can slew foot someone straight on or it has to be from behind where you're taking the leg, but he, you know, skate the skate and Sam gets flipped around. For me, looked naughty. We've gone straight down the ice and scored. I know Sam was hurt on the play and he was very fortunate it wasn't worse than what it was, but obviously you've heard the audio on the game tape as well. But
again, for me as well, the referee standing right beside that, how he doesn't call a trip on that, I have absolutely no idea. It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre.
He didn't. He, from the audio, he clearly felt that there wasn't contact. So he's.
Well, I mean, I know a good optician in Cathedral Eye Clinic if he wants to go down and have a look.
Maybe they still are. I don't know. Didn't they used to be sponsored by Specsavers, the refs?
They pulled out because, don't get me, they must have pulled out because they didn't see anything. So, you know, it is what it is.
The highlights from that game are available from our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. And let's quickly move on to the next game, gentlemen. The Belfast Giants hosted the Coventry Blaze once again on Sunday. Unfortunately, this time it was a snap of a 12-game winning streak as the Giants went down 3-1. The only goal coming from Gabe Bast, who will be joining us shortly on the power play. And the Coventry Blaze goals coming from Billings Kirkup, who scored two. Beskarwani, 26 shots against 3 goals against. And it was Miklos Rajna, 33 shots against 1 goal against. David Good and Joe Sewell were the referees. David, what went wrong?
Well, this is a kind of, for me, was a bit like the, you know, after the Lord Moore show, as I say, it's like five games in a week, more or less, for us. We look tired. I know we talk about, and I think Adam references as well, about being the no-excuse organizations, but a lot of nervous energy isn't the right, but, you know, there's been a lot of adrenaline all expended over that week, and it just all comes spilling out, and all of a sudden you're trying to play two games in less than 24 hours, and we came out, obviously, that slow start, a couple of goals down after 5 minutes, and we're maybe expecting things to happen for us. It just didn't happen, and we just didn't seem to have enough jump. And I know that in the interview, I think Nigel asks, you know, was the effort level there? I'm not going to say that the effort level wasn't there. It looked like the energy level wasn't there. And that's very understandable after having a cup final and the drop off that you will have naturally after that. You know, we talked about, was it Doug or Eddie said it after they won the league?
Collective exhale.
Everybody just takes a sigh and, you know, we had that adrenaline rush of being able to play the Saturday night and getting the 6 goals, but suddenly going behind and having to find that extra wee bit of energy that you maybe just don't have and get a wee bit individual at times then, and you start chasing the game. And when you're chasing the game for 55 minutes and just nothing was going for us, you know, we obviously got that goal in the first period, would give us a wee bit of jump, but we just couldn't convert anything. Honestly, Paddy, it's one of those ones that you throw the puck in the bin and you just move on. You get back to work this week and you know, you refocus on what we're going to be doing this weekend. And all these things, all big streaks come to an end. And unfortunately for us, it ended on Sunday. But I don't think it was I disagree that it was lack of effort. But I'll say again, I just thought the energy levels looked low. Speaking to Simon during the game on Sunday, and we both sort of agreed that it just looked like we just lacked that wee bit of jump, and quite understandable with the amount of games we've had recently.
We'll hear from the coaches in just a second, Simon, but it was a case, like, I agree with Davey there. There was a lack of jump. It did seem a little bit like after the Lord Mayor show, and that we were just, at some point, we were just spinning the wheel.
Listen, to be honest, you haven't taken the account, Coventry played really well on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Imagine in goal was excellent.
Compared to Saturday when they didn't turn up, and you know, I thought they did real, and I was expecting a really big jump from them in Sunday game. I thought they played really well. Their goaltender, you know, while he came up with some big saves, I don't think we tested him enough. I thought looking from a point of view of 5 games in 8 days and talking about some big games as well, it's not surprising that the boys were tired. I mean, I've seen a comment coming across the bottom of the screen there from Ryan Cully. He was tired on Sunday and he's just watching. I think we talked about it in the office as well. We were all knackered. We all took Monday off. I tweeted about it on Sunday night. I'm taking Monday off. Nobody contact me. Don't contact me if it works at all.
Sorry about that.
No, yeah, I know you did, you bollocks. It was decent. Like, you know, it was one of those performances where Do you know what? I think it might actually do us good. It sounds really weird that, you know, when you keep winning, and sometimes, you know, you just sort of expect to go out and win. And that might just, as Davey said, I think might just refocus us a little bit. You know, I know all the boys were on the ice today, ready to go. Hold on, it's finished. Guildford have just beat, Guildford have just get beat by Coventry 3-2.
So I've just been watching the updates coming in on that. That's good news.
Yeah.
Regulation.
Yeah. Regulation.
So,
which kind of, as we're talking about it, Coventry obviously beat, you know, it's, you know, give plaudits to a team that's in good form. I'd actually, Simon, thought towards the end of the game on Saturday night.
Imagine a goal again for this.
You knew what was coming Sunday because they started running about in that last 10 minutes of the period. They started to up the physicality. You knew on Sunday they were going to come out and be a hungry team. So, fair play.
Now, again, just to finish up on it, you know, they beat first and second place now in the last 3 days. So, the Coventry are a good team. Let's make no mistake about it. Again, you know, to come out, if somebody had offered me 24 points from 26, 13 games ago, I'd have bitten their arm off.
A ridiculous one. Let's we're going to hear from Gabe Bast in just a few minutes. Let's hear from the two coaches after that game on Sunday.
Yeah, Danny, I actually watched your post-game interview last night, and everything that you wanted your players to do tonight, they did. Good start, 60 minutes of hard effort. You knew you had to be at your best, and you were tonight.
Yeah, credit to the guys. I mean, to not just to play their best, but to bounce back from the performance last night. And, you know, as I said last night, this team is such a good hockey club, the Belfast Giants. And right through the lineup, they do everything well. And if you're not switched on and you're not at your best, then, you know, last night happens. And, you know, tonight we just came out of the blocks. That first goal was so crucial for us, you know, just to kind of settle and give the guys a little bit of a boost. And, you know what, from there we just continue to work. And, you know, sometimes you can get into the X's and O's and you can focus on that a little bit too much. But I think what made the difference last night was a little bit more that they just outworked us and they were winning all the puck battles and they just wanted it more. And I think we kind of reversed that tonight.
You've locked into the fifth seed for the playoffs, pretty much. Mm-hmm. You're playing spoiler pretty well here. Sheffield last week, Giants this week. There are 3-4 weekends left before you get to the playoffs. So what do the next 4 weekends, what are you looking for from your team?
What we did tonight. I mean, that's we're aware of our situation in the standings, how we play against teams. There's no interest from our end on what it does to them in the standings. We're just focused on us. And, you know, we want to play good hockey down the stretch. We want to play next level hockey, playoff style hockey, so that when you get into playoffs, it, you know, you just carry on. You're not trying to flick a switch and start back up. So, you know, great. A lot of positives tonight, right through our lineup. Every line was good. Our D was great. Miklos was a wall tonight. You know, Kirk, you got to give him a shout out. First game in this league, and he goes and scores 2 goals, including the game winner. So, I'm thrilled tonight.
Yeah, but you are setting down a marker for those playoffs. You're going to get one of the top 4 teams, obviously in the first round and the quarterfinals, and you've taken 2 of them out in the last 2 weekends.
Yeah, and I think tonight was important for our own confidence too against the Giants. You know what I mean? That's the first time we beat them this year. We had a lot of good games against them at home. Blew 3 third period leads against them. So to not just beat them, but to really hang on to that lead as we did and do it in the fashion we did. And, you know, we just played smart hockey and, you know, continue to buzz and win those puck battles. And that was the difference tonight. You know, those clear second pucks in front of the net and, you know, just our compete. I loved it. I mean, I said to the guys, that just reminded me of that Fort Mac, Alberta mentality. You know, they get a kick out of that, especially the Ontario boys. All right. Cheers, guys.
Alan, listen, you've so many big games. You know, we're on a 12-game win streak. That's the old cliche, you can't win them all. But is there just disappointment tonight it didn't seem like the usual effort was there tonight? Is that a fair comment?
I mean, this is our fifth game in a week. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you always use the cliche, no excuses. But when you are coming into that, you are worried about that as a coach. And I thought from the first period on, first of all, Coventry came out very strong, as we figured they would. Prove to everybody why they are where they are in the standings. I thought they were very good, limited us to the outside, kept us for a very perimeter, not a whole lot of quality on that goalie. And, you know, on the flip side of that, yeah, I thought there was like just, you know, we were hoping it was going to go our way instead of trying to really get dirty and make it go our way. You know, but like you just said there, I can't complain right now. You know, we basically went, won every game in February and then won the Challenge Cup. So I'm not going to complain about it right now. Obviously, I'm disappointed we lost that game and kind of put the ball back in Guilford's hands. And obviously, you know, the gap closes a little lighter there between Sheffield and Cardiff as well. So, you know, but there's a lot of big hockey to be played, and we need some rest here. You know, that was our last midweek game. So now there really is no excuses going forward. We need to be the best version of ourselves each and every game here going forward. And so it starts with some rest and then a couple good days of practice and get ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, in a four-team title race, there's going to be twists and turns before the end of the season. You've been on a 12-game run. It was unlikely you were going to win 22 in a row to win the league title. So, you know, I guess how the players respond now with a big road trip to Sheffield and Manchester next week, that'll be key this week.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it is how we bounce back that's really going to matter. I didn't think that was the team that we're used to seeing tonight. It didn't look like we were going to get one, you know, for the majority of that game. Obviously, we got one 5-on-3, but it just looked like we were not threatening at all. And Coventry was doing a very good job keeping us to the outside, and they played hard. And then they got some lucky bounces there. The first one they shoot, and it hits their player, falls on his feet, and it's obviously a great start to the game for them.
Just looking ahead to Sheffield, yes, they've pulled 2 points back on you this weekend, but, you know, in head-to-head matchups, they're four-point games. If you can go there next week, you'd go a long way to finishing their title chances off with a victory there on Saturday. But you know how hard they're going to come at you.
Yeah, I mean, every weekend's important, and every weekend's very big. Obviously, you know, we're up against Sheffield. It's going to be very challenging. It's a playoff game. Every game's a playoff game right now, you know, because then you win or lose that game, you're going to step into Altrincham in Manchester, and they've done enough damage to us already this season, so that's another big game. And then you come home here, and you got Cardiff, and the list goes on and on, so it's just worried about Sheffield. That's it. You know, get some rest here, and we'll worry about Sheffield, and then we'll see what happens in Sheffield, and we'll move on.
Big thanks to Giants TV for those, and you can catch the highlights of that game from our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. A good comment there just as well, from interesting comment from Danny Stewart, and it was put to him by Nigel Ringland that, you know, they'd taken first and second. Sorry, you know, the Sheffield Steelers, the Belfast Giants, and now the Guildford Flames have all went down at the hands of the Coventry Blades in the last couple of weeks. They are, to an extent, kingmakers, and, you know, that's no surprise really with the way they're playing. So it was, an interesting, and they will be dangerous come the playoffs. Let's move ahead. We have a man waiting in the wings to chat to us. He's been waiting quite a while, so we thank him for that. It's the player of the month as part of the fan agenda brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. Please welcome to A View from the Bridge, Gabe Bast. How you doing, mate?
What's going on, guys?
Thanks for waiting for us, buddy. We really appreciate
it. No worries.
Congratulations on the winning the A View from the Bridge player of the month for February, sponsored by Phonicab. A great month for you, February, the way you were performing. And was it nice to receive that trophy?
Yeah,
biggest trophy
so.
In the game. Biggest trophy in the game, man.
No, the Challenge Cup was much better. But yeah, obviously, when you
thanks very much.
Yeah, when you get a personal accomplishment like that, it's always nice. But in the long run, it doesn't really mean much. So, I mean, thank you. But I'm looking for bigger trophies.
The biggest trophy in the game, mate. I'm not having that for you. And the young lad's name, Davey. You remember the young lad's name? Who was
Jaden? Young Jaden. Young Jaden, he had a bit of a bad day. Jaden got bit by a dog on the way to the game and ended up in hospital after the game. But I saw on his Twitter that he took Gabe's stick home with him and couldn't have the smile chiseled off his face on Sunday. So get well soon, Jaden. Thanks for presenting the trophy and enjoy your stick.
Even if it didn't mean very much to Gabe Bast, apparently. No, let's take it to that Challenge Cup victory, mate. You know, obviously, you know, we worked hard to get there and to be able to host it at home. To win a trophy like that in front of so many fans, that must mean a great deal to you.
Yeah, that was special. Yeah, having a sold out building in front of all those fans was spectacular. You know, just like the atmosphere in that game. I remember I hadn't been nervous for a lot of games this year, but I had the nerves and the excitement going into that game, and I knew it was going to be special for us.
Why the nerves? What were the nerves? What were you mainly nervous about? Just that it was a championship game, or that there was an unknown against Fife, or?
Yeah, a little bit of both there. Obviously, being at home, it's a game you want to win and you should win. But yeah, and obviously a championship trophy on the line. It's one of the goals we had coming into the season, and that was our opportunity. So, you know, just I'm glad we got it done.
Gabe, this is for you, first season maybe in a bit of a way where you've managed to, you know, avoid big injuries, and you've been playing a lot of minutes, especially, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a game, hard in the body, but feeling good with the responsibility of being the go-to guy every night?
Yeah, you know what, it's been good. Obviously, the last, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years, I've just had these, I don't know, freakish injuries that have kept me out for weeks or months at a time. But, this year I've been feeling good. You know, playing a lot of minutes. And I think that that helps when you're able to get into a rhythm of the game when you're playing all the time. Sometimes when you're not playing, it's tough to kind of get into a rhythm, and all the, like, the stopping and starting and missing a couple shifts here and there. So yeah, you know, it's obviously a huge honor that the coaches have given me a lot of responsibility this year. To lead the back end.
So with that in mind, that you have missed a lot of hockey over the last lot of years, still a young man, obviously there's still a lot more hockey in you.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see.
Says?
There's a lot of more hockey in you. I'm not hearing any more about it. Just do it.
No, nope, I agree.
We'll get the Porsche sorted out for you at some point. Gabe, you've set up a good relationship on the back end with Big Sam. I mean, you don't sit that far away from him in the locker room. He's just a top character.
Oh yeah, Sam's unreal. You know him. He's hard to describe. Just his personality. He's got a little bit of a quirkiness to him. You can never really get a straight answer from him. You'll never get a yes or no. It's always something around that, but he's been great, and you know, we've formed a great friendship and a great partnership on the ice.
And you know, you're really starting to do well on the points side. I think it was many points in February, Davey,
15
points,
yeah.
In February, you picked up a couple at the weekend again, obviously 4 assists in the cup final. And I know your personal accolades, obviously, with the AVFTB trophy don't mean an awful lot, and the team does. I appreciate that. I have no problem with that. But the goal against Guildford, away to Guildford a couple of weeks ago, what did you say to the referee to get the penalty?
Sorry, what was it? The goal in Guildford?
The goal in Guildford, and you got a penalty immediately after. What did you say to the ref?
I didn't say anything to the ref. I said something to the goalie.
And you got a penalty for it?
Yeah, because that was right after he had, there was like maybe a little brawl. The game was kind of getting out of hand at that point. And then he was out of the crease trying to fight guys. And so then it's sort of a bad one. Like, it was not a good goal at all. So I just gave him a little woo. And I don't know how I got a penalty for it, but I did.
does it get on your nerves whenever, not it's because it's the game's over, you get a penalty for that? Scott Conway literally stood in front of him and screamed in his face, play on. You know, yeah. Collins, as Simon says a lot, Collins is like king of the chirps.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember, like, we were talking about that in the locker room after the game, how I got the penalty for just giving him a little woohoo, and Scott was just standing in the crease. And then I remember somebody else scored, but they did the same thing. But yeah, nothing for them.
Before we come to, we've got a few questions that have come in from the people who are watching. But before we do that, you're mixing a bit of schooling with playing for the Giants. How's that going?
It's good. It's time consuming, but you know, it's good. You know, last year in Finland, I wasn't doing anything really. So for the first half of the year before I got hurt, I was coming home and I was all alone and I was just blowing my mind. We're just thinking I'd do something. Doing my master's here has been huge, and it gives me something to do, and it keeps me busy, and keeps me sharp, keeps me out of trouble.
Was it a real draw for coming to play here, the opportunity to do that alongside your game of the ice?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I got a degree in college, and I was kind of wavering on my options of what to do, and I didn't really want to go into to what I got my degree in. So I thought, you know, just coming here, getting to play hockey, do my master's, just sets myself up for success after hockey.
What's the one? You were at University of North Dakota, wasn't it? You went.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the one eye you've got in years down the line when you finish pro hockey in Belfast, and are years away?
I have no idea. I think about it every day, and I still plenty of time
to work that.
Then you've just got to, yeah. Like as I said to Mark Cooper on the last day, you've got to just keep doing what you're good at. You're young, just keep lacing them up and playing a game.
Yeah,
well, you still can. Absolutely, don't give that up. Let's have a quick look around some of the questions we've been asking people who are watching in. And we've got more or less the same question coming in from Glenn McKinstry, Alan Brett, and we'll go for our good friend Madison Wright. Gabe, you must be really happy with your first season in Belfast so far. Is this your best season with goals and assists?
Yeah, I think so.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure. I just think I've been put in an opportunity by the coaching staff, obviously surrounded by fantastic players here. Yeah, I don't know. I just think I've been kind of a beneficiary of my surroundings.
Is it just obviously, you know, there's that link play that you have with other players, and just having that sort of chemistry of other players is probably also a big factor to racking those points up.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can gain a little, the confidence with another player and a little connection, that's gonna help.
There's a similar question to John Stewart, but in a different way. I guess he said you seem to find your range now in regards to scoring, especially on the power play. You enjoy playing on special teams?
Yeah, I do. I don't know what our power play percentage has been recently, but
24
over. What is it?
Says no. Oh, David,
just over 20. Just over 24. Just over 24 on the season. But lately it's a wee little bit elevated over that.
Yeah, I feel like in the last
25%.
Yeah, the last, I don't know, 10, 15 games maybe. We're getting a lot of good looks. You know, I think that's just the chemistry that we have built throughout the whole year. I mean, nothing's really changed in terms of personnel. Some guys are in different spots, but I think we found what's working for us right now.
It's 27.15 in the Elite League right now.
Oh, wow.
Which is excellent.
Really good. Really good. One last question from the people watching on it comes from Kevin Madden, which is a clear shooting lane and a clear passing lane to Collins. What are you doing?
I'm shooting it. Shooting.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, because I'm sure he would say the same. So, I'm not gonna give it to him.
We were just talking about him earlier, and in fact that he's hit the high score, and we were just mentioning about him, you know, one of the elements I love is the fact that he's the chirp king, but he's able to back it up, and he's really leading the line for the Giants this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he get 100 points on. And I don't think there's anybody within 20 something of him. So, you know, yeah, he definitely backs up everything that he says. And, you know what, I don't think I've ever played with a more competitive person in my entire life.
Yeah,
just talking about hockey. Like, he's competitive in everything.
Riding the bike to town. Like, he's got to be the first one. Like, all right.
Here's Paddy. Before you go, I was doing a little bit of the stats stuff earlier. I've no idea how big Red Deer is. Obviously, Red Deer native. The guy used to play for the Giants. Big fella called Dermot Kelly. Ever hear of him?
I'm pretty sure he used to play for the Red Deer Rebels.
Yeah, years.
I don't know. I think my dad does some business with him now, but I just remember when I was younger,
he's in construction watching
the Rebels games, and he was one of the players.
Tell you a quick story about him. Yes, so the Super League, as this league was many years ago in the early 2000s, was collapsing, and the Elite League was coming out of it. So it was going. It was many imports that we had, maybe like six or seven. It was going into a real. And we're trying to get a lot of new British kids involved in the game, and the Giants held open trials for people to come and get involved. And he flew himself from Canada to come to trials and got himself a spot on the team for the season.
Oh, wow.
He had connections to it as well, didn't he?
What's that?
He had family connections. And
it's something that like Londonderry people, something like that, yeah.
That's a wild story. I didn't even know that would have been like a thing.
No, it wasn't really. Like, it was because of the way that the league was changing, and the fact that you know, we were cutting down on imports, and you know, and Mr. Kitchen nearly played as well at one point. Was that what you thought about it at that time?
No, I was before. Simon would have been.
I was before that. Was it?
Thanks, David. Trying to say
no, I just mean that what I was saying, Kitchens, you could have played in the Super League, mate. But you know, if you want to take a huff about it, that's okay.
Taking any huff, mate, no bother.
On that note, the just one last thing for us, Gabe. You know, obviously two big games this weekend. Sheffield are desperate to stay in the hunt while we're, you know, and will want to be taking points off us, and that will be a different game. And then we go to what is a wonderful surrounding in the rink in Manchester. what are your thoughts for this weekend?
You know what? I think as a group, we're excited just to regroup. Obviously, Sunday wasn't the effort that. We wanted to show, but you know, just getting back in the win column, and obviously I saw Guildford lost tonight, so just kind of building on that cushion, and you know, in the race to the league championship here.
Fantastic. Well, listen, mate, congratulations on the Challenge Cup win, the Player of the Month, and good luck this weekend, and good luck down the stretch.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate for having me.
Big thanks to Gabe Bast for his time. And, you know, just a quick word about him says, you know, he has been phenomenal when he's come in. He has been playing really, really well. And he's also very noticeable with that blue stick.
Davey's busting his head. He really wants a blue and orange stick, don't you, Davey? He, every time he sees, he's always asked me here, ask Taft, see if he can get one. I'd love one of them.
Broken one, anything orange or blue, mate, you know, it's going to go well in my house.
He's been exceptional. He's been really, really good this year. Davey's touched on, he's playing over, I mean, I think he's averaging about 20, 23, 24 throughout the season, but at points this season, he's played 27, 28 minutes. He's deceptively quick, but I think the main thing with Basti is his awareness of what's happening around him. You know, it's just that wee bit of nastiness is definitely helpful as well. I really enjoyed watching that in players, you know, guys that come over and, you know, they don't have to finish their check, and maybe just literally just as the whistle finishes, that's not Basti, he's finishing his check. I just really enjoy watching players who live on the edge and just don't mind getting out there and laying a check and everything. I just really, really enjoy watching them. I'm not too sure. I mean, if you look back at all the years we've had and the many D-men we've had throughout the years, and Davey, he'll probably go back and look at the stats now. I remember Spiro did really well in the points side of things for the year that he was here, and, you know, picked up 60-something points. Basti's on 64, 65, something like that.
Spiro's just a little bit ahead of him, yeah.
You know, and it's...
Less games. Spiro's was with a wee bit less games, to be fair.
Yeah, but again, you know, when you've got that in your locker, that, you know, your vision's the most important. It's from a defenseman looking forward, and forwards love playing with offensive-minded defensemen because the defensive-minded defensemen sort of know where to put the puck to them and where the player will want it, whereas defensivemen don't really have that in their locker a lot of the time. So Basti, for me, has been absolutely outstanding. Just want to say hello.
Who's going to stick his head in here? Who is it? Well, 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 Mr. Ellery, how are you? Jason Taff Ellery joining us here in A View from the Bridge. How are you doing, mate?
Spurs are beat. This is ridiculous.
Spurs are beat. How are you after last Wednesday, Taff?
Great, mate. Another one for the cabinet, you know.
He's got a bigger cabinet now.
One thing I'll say about Taff is, right, everything was going on and, you know, all the celebrations were going on and everybody's, you know, all the champagne's going, the beers are going, and I look around and who's still at work, picking up the sticks, picking up the gloves, making sure that everything's... I guess you just don't want them all mixed up, mate. You just want to keep them in order.
Do you want to go missing, do we?
That's it. That's very true.
Imagine Scott Conway's glove on eBay again, £300, £400. Imagine
that. Oh, no, do you want... I never thought about that.
Yeah,
opportunity.
You'd have had one away.
Maybe he's got a pair. Sick and odd pair, two right hands, but you'd be grand.
What do you think? What do you think of this team, Taff?
Brilliant, mate. Really good. Really,
yeah.
Good bunch of guys. You know, a bit of a slip on the weekend, but I think we needed it. You know, we needed a bubble to burst to refocus and move on. Like, you know, so. You know, yeah, big weekend in Sheffield, Manchester. Now, hopefully we can pick it back up with Guildford losing tonight. Coventry going to Cardiff on Saturday, you know, you never know.
Like you say, you got Sheffield and Manchester this weekend. I know I'll see you in Manchester, but when does the preparation start for you to get out there? When are you shipping out?
9:30 ferry on Friday night, so.
That's a long trip, mate.
Over to Liverpool, you know, so.
Your two partners in crime will be there to help you?
Oh, yeah, of course they will.
They'll snipe their way in without tickets and everything.
Oh, man.
Where was he last week?
He's in Thailand.
He was in Thailand last week.
Thailand and Dubai.
Yeah.
Big Mark and Kelly. Hey, Martin, you guys. Give them a wave there. Taff will be watching.
Millionaires, mate, there. Millionaires.
I'm going to pop them up for sponsorship.
Right, lads, I'm going home.
Come on.
Nice one, Taff. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Take care.
Cheers, Jason.
Take care. All the best.
Yeah. See you later, mate.
Fabulous. One last thing before we move off the game, Bass. Davey, you know, statistically, you were talking about there and about all the, you know, we've had D-men in the past who have been able to put up the points, you know, Rob Sandrock being one, you know, you talked about Spiro Galakis. But it's, you know, to have that ability and to have a player like Bass is key in a team going for championships.
Gabe could possibly be here. Well, he's here for a number of reasons. Obviously, he's got a lot of family connections here. That Finland didn't work out for him through injury. And I think, as reported at the time, he kind of reached out to us to say, you know, he'd been to Northern Ireland. He'd done a lot of, you know, played a lot of golf. He liked it. And, you know, was there be an opportunity perhaps in Belfast? And obviously, once came along. He's been very unlucky through his the last sort of 5-6 years of his career, right through University of North Dakota, as we said there, with injury. He's just, and he referenced it himself, just little stupid injuries that wouldn't go away, shoulders and groins and stuff that he's well documented. And he's just been healthy all season. And I don't think when you look back at his junior career and you see it tied up now, it's no surprise that he's getting these numbers. he's getting big power play time, because when he was fit at university and NCAA, he was getting big power play minutes. So, you know, he's always had that ability. He's tough as teak, like Sizzle Teddy. He's well put together. He's a unit. And he makes every hit. He's right up there at the top of the block charts. He's right up there at the top of the hits charts. You know, he's playing almost half an hour every game. He leads the defense in shots. I think he's only second to Conway in the team on shots. Shots on goal, shots off goal, percentage, conversion percentage rate of shot to goals and stuff. So just a real pinnacle player in this league. And, you know, as Simon says, if he needs a Porsche next year, get him a Porsche, says.
I'm doing my best, Davey. Thanks very much for the help.
I'll tax it.
I'm sure you will.
Right, let's have a quick bit of the news. Not that much to talk about. I'll just have a quick look at the table. We do know that the Guildford Flames lost tonight 3-2 to the Coventry Blaze, which actually takes away their in-hand advantage. They sit 3 points behind the Giants with one game in hand. The Giants 46 games played, 71 points. Guildford 45 games and 68 points, level with Cardiff, but on fewer games. The Sheffield Steelers 2 back and 66. Coventry Blaze, as was mentioned there by Nigel Ringland in the interview with Danny Stewart, more or less out on their own. They've qualified for playoffs. They're not going above Sheffield. They're not going to drop below Nottingham. They're going to finish in fifth. And then there's a real, real shootout in the bottom. I'd even say up to the Nottingham Panthers at this point. We still got enough games. Nottingham might be okay. They've got enough games at hand, but they sit on 40. Storm sit on 40 with 46 played. The Clan sit on 33 with 50 played. Fife on 30 with 47 played. And Dundee, unfortunately, I think are more or less out of it, 25 points with 44 played. Simon, you know, that battle to get into the playoffs is a real tight one.
Yeah, again, I think where we're sitting right now, when you look at Glasgow and Fife, Glasgow have only got 4 games remaining. They've no game this weekend. You know, they've only got 4 games remaining. Fife have got 7. And they're 3 points behind. So Fife need to really pick it up and try and, you know, get a few results in the next couple of games. And that's the only one I see sort of the challenge. Manchester and Nottingham might switch places over the next couple of weeks. And when you look at Nottingham and the budget that they have and sitting in sixth in the league.
Yeah, they're not finishing there yet.
You know, as a Panthers fan, you must be absolutely gutted. I seen a tweet earlier on, somebody saying, I've been to watch Leeds more this year because it's more entertaining than watching the Nottingham Panthers. You know, probably the tweet of the week, in fairness. But if you're a Panthers fan, you must be fuming the way the whole season's gone. I just don't understand it. I really don't. You know, they've got a big budget over there, you know, and you know, people talk about the Belfast Giants budget, but they don't take into consideration that every single away game we go to, we've got to stay over. Everybody else can travel home. So it costs us a lot of money to stay over, whether it's flying or taking the ferry and staying in a hotel. The budget's the budget, and we use ours very, very wisely. So congratulations to Stephen Thornton and Adam. Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Steve Thornton, 50th day.
That's what I said. We did it at the top of the show, mate. I said I didn't know he was younger than you.
Wasn't listening. but you know that for where we are, all we can do is take one game at a time. Adam, you heard Adam talking about in his interview there with Nigel at the end of the game on Sunday. It's one game at a time. The only thing he's focusing on right now is the Sheffield Steelers on Saturday.
Davey, and at the top, you know that loss from Guildford does put us in a position where, you know, they have one game in hand, but they can't overtake us.
No, but as Simon has said there, you know, just look after our own games. Can't worry about anybody else. You just got to worry about the next team up and Manchester Storm.
Sheffield are going to be battling us to try to keep in it as well. And they had a 4-point weekend. There are going to be a few more twists and turns in these final weeks of the league season. Well,
8 games. It's, you know, if you'd drawn this at the start of the season and said you've got 8 games, you've got whatever, one game played more than anybody else, but you've got 3 points at the top and you've got 8 games to go and
You've got a goaltender in good form. Five of which are at home, and you've got a selection of after what we're saying after this weekend. You've only got one more away game, not the last game of the season, so the last away to Dundee.
Away to Dundee, yeah.
Be dialing up agent Mason that day.
Yes. So that's as I say, Belfast Giants leading the lead, 46 games played, 71 points, and two big games coming up this weekend. That is the Sheffield Steelers on Saturday at 7 p.m. at Sheffield Arena. You can get that on Steelers TV. And then we travel across the Pennines, just down the road from me here in Aldrium, to face the Manchester Storm. And Manchester have later won 6 of their last 10 games at home. David, neither of these two games are going to be easy.
No gimmies at this stage of the season. They're obviously trying to get themselves away from the foot of the table, secure their playoff spot. There's not an awful lot of jockeying for position to be done at the bottom end of the table, because as you say, you just try and win through and get momentum going. Now, Danny Stewart's talked about it there, how important it is to just go these one game at a time and stay switched on from now to the end. So, you know, what are we talking? 5 weeks the season's going to be done. You know, 4 or 5 weeks, the season is done. Playoffs are done. So, you know, this is it. A lot of these players, a lot of these, there'll be players within our own organization and every other organization. This is their last go at pro hockey. They'll be retiring soon.
Yes.
They've got 4 or 5 weeks of a career to try and do something, to try and get that David Gilbert smile, to try and win something, to try, you know, success for some teams will be qualifying for the Final Four. Success for other teams is hanging banners, lifting trophies. You know, so different people in different lanes, but they'll all want a smile at the end of the season and know they did their best for their team. So, you know, say, but Saturday night, let's go.
Or is it there's Friday a level night? Of there's a Saturday night. There's a level of inconsistency from Sheffield at the minute, says that they're trying to get back. But also, as I know myself only too well, unfortunately, you know, going into Manchester can sometimes be a roll of the dice.
Look, again, they beat us the last two times we played them in the SSE Arena. So nobody likes to go to Manchester. I don't know how you stayed there all that time. you know,
it's awkward, mate. Sorry.
I know it is a tough place to go to. And that game, look, you can't discount the Sheffield Steelers. They know they've been a wounded animal over the last few months. They picked up 2 big wins at the weekend. You can only beat the teams in front of you, and they'll be ready for Belfast coming in this weekend. And then Manchester, I think Manchester play on Thursday night on the Viaplay game.
They do. They play Cardiff
Devils. And they're, David touched on earlier, I think they've won 6 out of 10 and done decently as well. So I think they'll be ready for Cardiff. And then they've got a 2-day break to get ready for us coming in from the night before in Sheffield. So they'll be well rested. They'll be ready to go. But again, Adam will just be looking to the Sheffield Steelers game on Saturday.
Those two games, Sheffield away, 7 p.m. on Saturday at Sheffield Arena. You get that on Steelers TV. And then we go to the Drizzle Dome Sunday at 5:30 p.m. The Belfast Giants versus the Manchester Storm. Can't wait to go to that game. Bringing my kids, first game I'm bringing my kids this season because it's 5:30. Can't bring them to the later ones, so bring them to that one.
Are you not bored from there?
Shh. Long time ago, mate. Long time. A lot of water under the bridge since then, Simon. any other business? I'm just going to start briefly. That's just with 2 things. One, big shout out to Gordon. We got on Twitter. He's watching us in bed with a broken leg. Davey might be able to shout about that. He had a broken leg once. It was a long time ago. He never mentions it. But he's watching us home with a broken leg. Get well soon. And the other thing, just from my point of view, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who just came up and said hello at the SSE Arena last week on the Wednesday. So walking around the arena, walking around the concourse, a lot of people stopping for chats and just having a bit of a chat and chatting about the podcast. It's very, very much appreciated. It's very humbling to know that some people just come up even just to say hi and have a bit of a chat, and especially on an exciting day like that. So big thank you to everybody who did that. Gentlemen, any other business?
Yeah, but do you want to go
to
first?
Gordy with a broken leg. Get in touch with Simon. He'll put you in touch with one of our partners. ProTech recovery boots, absolutely brilliant. Help your broken leg. Invest in your health, mate. These are life changing. Get them on after every game. So do now. Simon hooked me up with his sponsor and was able to, I think, got me 5% or something off Simon for cash. Wasn't something brilliant like that? But good to support our partners, and it'll really, really help your recovery. Talking of recoveries, big shout out
she's probably going to bed by now, but my ma is going in to get her second hip done tomorrow. Somebody else told me, my mum didn't. Somebody told me last night, I believe your mum's going in the hospital on Thursday, but...
So, that's the way I mate, that's the way it goes with my parents as well. I don't hear, I hear from other people.
So my uncle in America was talking to me last night and he was like, hey, here, your ma's going in to get her other hip done on Thursday. So if you're still watching, mum, I know she watches about 9 o'clock, but this goes on a wee bit long. So if you are still watching, ma, good luck tomorrow. I'll give you a wee ring.
Yes. Here, here. Here, here.
We'll if you need anything done, Dorothy, give us a shout when you're in the corner. There's no problem. Oh, Dorothy, sorry. Doreen.
Almost your mother, almost your mother-in-law. I can't believe that.
She reminds me a lot about it, don't worry.
Oh, dear.
I just want to give a big shout out to USC members last night that turned up for the bowling. 100 people, absolutely brilliant. All the boys turned up and had a really, really good night. A lot of positive feedback on social media. Had a chat with Jude McVeigh, who's gone through cancer treatment at the minute, chemo, and so our thoughts go out to her. And
Absolutely,
you know, it's just amazing. Some of the fans we have are just unbelievable. So it's we're, you know, again, you touched on International Women's Week today's day, sorry. And you know, it you just don't know how lucky you are. One of my friends has gone through the same treatment with than Jude is at the minute as well. So thoughts over them, and hopefully they come out the other side very, very quickly and get back to full health.
You're here.
And as I say, I don't know if I said, Steve Thornton's 50th birthday today.
what are you to say?
One of the chirping. It was brilliant. I went into the office this morning. Laura, of course, it had to be Laura. She had the balloons and she had the old photographs of Thornton all around the room. And I mean, there were some absolute crackers, by the way.
There was a great one put on Twitter, eh?
What?
There was a great one the Giants put on Twitter as well. It was in black and white.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yep, that's me, Paddy. That's nothing else to report.
No, it looks like the bowling last night went really well. Some great photographs being put up at the OSC and as well. So it's great. Do you know what? A lot of things I said, you know, that I said on Twitter and stuff. I've said a lot of things on Twitter, but a lot of things have been said about how, with regards to the Belfast Giants and the way they've been playing, and especially when they're successful, don't take it for granted. You know, don't take success for granted. It you know, sport comes back and bites you on the bum more often than not. And you know, that's, but also when we went through the whole thing of COVID and all the stuff, and people have, you know, locked in their own rooms and locked in their own houses and not been able to go out, things like that, things like the bowling, things like the stuff the Belfast Giants and the OSC were doing, were gone. They were gone for years. But to be able to come back and do things like that, to do the things of the OSC, to go and do the bowling stuff, is just phenomenal, mate. And more part of the OSC for doing things like that, and to the guys who come out and enjoy it. You know, there's some great photographs of Con. I'm sure Scott Conway wasn't competitive when it came to the bowling. I'm sure he was.
He wasn't happy at Jackson Whistle won, like. but a funny one was Matt Foley. Matt Foley was a wee, he didn't, you know, admit this at the start, and nobody's seen it until the second game. But his new nickname is Bumper. He had the bumpers up.
And nobody noticed?
And nobody noticed. Oh. So I think it might have been Cons that touted on him. But so he's he had a bit of a laugh over that as well. Gabe Bast, we know we've just had him on, I'm going to thank him for his time, but he had a big assignment to get done for college last night. He still came over for about 15 or 20 minutes to get a wee bit of a break and then head back and get the rest of the theses done last night. So thanks to Gabe and thanks to all the boys that turned up. Tuesday was a day off, and they all turned up last night to come down to the Odyssey Pavilion, the new Hollywood Bowl, which is absolutely amazing, by the way. So thanks to them for putting it on. And there's just not enough time to get another one done this season, but we definitely will be doing another one next year.
Absolutely. Don't take these events for granted. If you can get involved in the OSC, obviously I think it's a full house at the OSC at the minute, but if in the future you get involved in the OSC, then it's absolutely a brilliant thing to be part of.
We're looking at the possibility, and again, it's not so much the OSC side of things, because they do enough events throughout the year, but we're exploring the opportunity of doing a golf day again. We used to do them years ago.
Yes, indeed.
So we're just waiting to find out what's the situation with the start of the league dates next year. But it's probably going to be in September, early September, when we'll get another golf tournament organized. It'll be at Hollywood Golf Club, because one of our partners, and we'll have more news on that in the next few weeks.
gives a heads up, says.
Absolutely.
You're back for that. Yeah. We'll do that. What do you think, Davey? You back for a bit of golf?
Fly me in, I'll be out.
And on that note, the two games for Belfast Giants this weekend, as I said, away to Sheffield 7 p.m, away to Manchester Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get those on your Steelers TV or Storm TV. Big thanks to Gabe Bast for his time this evening and answer, and big thanks to everybody who asked questions. Great to celebrate once more a fantastic Challenge Cup win. Go on, Simon.
I have to give a big shout out here to Mr. Mark Hitchcock, who is chirping away in the background.
He's texting
chirping
me.
Away in the background. Is he out of? Surely not. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's great to hear from him. I haven't heard from him in a while. So top man.
No, hopefully he'll come up to the playoffs. Hopefully he'll come up.
Wait, do you know what? He asked me that question the other day. He says he asked me when playoffs are. So never say never. On that note, yes, big thanks to Gabe Bast. Big thanks to everybody who's watching in, asking questions and interacting with us on that. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, on Facebook. You can get us kingdomthegiants.com, and you can watch us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and listen to us on all your normal podcast providers. Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Kitchen, it was good to see you last week, and it's good to see you again today.
And yourself, Patrick.
And wherever you are, we hope you're enjoying your hockey this weekend, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Social Podcast Network.